the problem with the issue is do nothing is an option, and then the sky is falling is you know, how it's cast as well. And you know, a lot of the issue falls in the realm of the imagination. So when I was doing my research on the topic, and right around the first year of the decade, electronic Pearl Harbor was the big term.
Right.
That, you know, the lights were going to go out. Everything was going to go.
We've watched too many Die Hard movies, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that you know, Skynet was going to wreak havoc. You know, something very wrong was going to happen. And then 9/11 told us, well, no, real bad things are probably kinetic in nature and not digital. So that put away the cybersecurity fear issue. It really lowered its place on the agenda. The problem is that most of the time this stuff isn't, you know, it's not these nightmare scenarios. And, you know, I heard Cyber Katrina last year. The real Katrina was worse. I don't see a Cyber Katrina this year happening. What I do see happening are a lot of denial of service attacks, a lot of data breaches. And they cost money, and they're a black hole for IT folks, whether in the government or in the private sector. Companies have to worry about losing their business plans because people don't really know how to secure what they're entrusted with. The Twitter Google Docs episode of a couple weeks ago speaks to that. So it's really more, you know, this isn't a weapons of mass destruction kind of thing. It's a weapons of mass annoyance kind of thing. And the nuisance value, the noise level of that is increasing, and it's going to continue increasing because we use this stuff more and more. But you know, the manufacturers are slowly becoming more aware of security across the industry, I mean, with some really leading. And then the second case is the user community. I mean, getting your users to do the right thing can go a long way in elevating your level of security, accepting that, you know, there is a risk and that essentially you can, you know, no matter what, you can have problems.
But you do agree that there needs to be a game plan. It just doesn't seem like we quite have one yet.
No, we don't quite have one yet, and the president was very astute in putting, you know, some communication out there. And you know, administrations are driven by major policy issues. You know, the critique on the Bush administration will always be that it was exhausted by Iraq. Currently, the administration is putting a lot of priority on health care. Of course, healthcare, one of the answers is electronic medical records, and if they're not secure, there's something for people to be worried about. So the recognition that this is an issue of importance is there in the administration. It's just we haven't figured out how to do the civilian side of it very well yet.
And you talk a little bit about sort of wrapping our arms around it. And one of the issues that I've always been fascinated with is sometimes people and organizations don't really, you know, what do you get if you have a really secure system is nothing happens.
Exactly.
It doesn't help you do your job better, except if you avoid a denial of service attack. And that's sort of amorphic. People tend not to understand that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a balancing act. It's really important. I think I have a column coming up on, in fact, I don't know when it goes to press, but I've written a column on this, on the Marine Corps' ban on Twitter and other and Facebook and MySpace and other social networking sites. And Admiral Mullen said very frankly, you know, he's the head of the Joint Chiefs, said, you know, I'm still going to tweet. You know, I've got 4 stars, and so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, just try and stop me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm head of the Joint Chiefs, and oh yes, I can reverse that order if I want to. So that's always the problem. It's you want a level of openness so that you can use the IT to do the business better. But at the same time, you have to recognize there are risks in doing everything. I mean, there are risks in getting up and going to work in the morning. So, I mean, this is something we do as human beings. We assess risk. We're just not as acutely aware of how to do it in the digital domain as we are in the physical one. This is all very new to us.
What I liked about your column is that the way you put it and the way you explained everything really seems to put it in perspective. You don't have that, well, you have the sense of urgency without the sense of panic. You say, Katrina, worse than a cyber Katrina. Electronic Pearl Harbor, nothing like what happened during the real Pearl Harbor. Keep it in perspective, even though you do acknowledge the seriousness of it. Are we scared or are people frightened of this because there's just, we don't know what we don't know, and that's a scary thing?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of Rumsfeld's unknown unknowns, I guess. We don't really know what the worst outcomes can be in all areas. But you talk to people in the different subject areas. So we published an editorial piece out of the Baker Institute earlier this year, and we had our computer security professor here at Rice, Dan Wallach, sit down with one of our energy economists, Ken Medlock. And Ken's an expert in energy transmission and oil and gas, but he knows a lot about the electrical grid. And we kind of walk through one of these nightmare scenarios. The power grid gets hacked, everything goes kablooey. And the three of us, and having basically an online conversation, a bunch of email ranting, saying, "Oh, this is wrong. This is overblown." We pieced that together and put it out as an editorial piece to basically lower the alarm level and say, "Okay, well, this really can't happen in the way that's specified, in some news reports." But as smart grid comes online, this is what you should think about.
So what should the administration be doing? They put out this plan and they're going to appoint a cyber czar. We all hear at some point, sometime, somewhere. Is that the right step? Is choosing somebody who can sort of lead this initiative and sort of ferret out the risk and determine where we need to put our priority? Is that the direction we should be going?
Well, we have to be incremental. That's the key thing. So appointing a cyber czar, we have a lot of czars in the administration now, all over the place on lots of issues. Some are probably more effective than others, but we have a number who've been extremely effective already. I would say probably the most important thing that can happen is to make this an issue beyond the boundaries of Washington, D.C. This needs to become more of an issue for industry. One of the things that we're pushing for very hard, being outside the Beltway and here in Houston, is the idea of regional information sharing on it. So we have a practitioner community of security experts that work for the big companies. We have a large number of Fortune 100 companies headquartered here. And a huge business community. People need to be talking more about this. The CFOs need to know something about this, and they're learning. We're really in an education phase. We have a new workforce that is digitally enabled. What we need to do is to inculcate in them an understanding of the security problem as well. So what we're going to work on here in Houston is really raising the level of awareness.